All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. This is a good place to be on a New Year's Eve. Psalm 71. I want to read the whole psalm. I'm mainly going to preach out of the first three verses, but let's read the whole psalm. David here is in a terrible, terrible trial and some terrible trouble. It says in verse 1, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, because thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee I've been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I'm as a wonder unto many, that thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery and even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." Our great God and our Father, we thank you for this year. We thank you for everything that you've sent, for the way that you've ruled everything that has come to pass this year. Lord, help us to understand why you do what you do and why that you bring to pass the things that you do. Help us to see it, Lord, in your word. Help us to understand, and Lord, make us to pray with David. Make us to put our trust in you and ask you to be our salvation. Lord, we pray now that you would truly bless this word to our heart. Lord, give us a powerful unction from your Spirit. Don't let this just be in word only. Lord, we ask you, we beg of you to make this word go forth in power. Lord, make it alive in our hearts. Make it so that there's nothing between us and Christ, that there's nothing hindering us from beholding him. Lord, you can do this, and you can, only you can. Lord, we thank you for this night. Thank you for this time. Thank you for each of our brethren and for these tender mercies that you've given us, even in the things that we don't see to be mercies. Lord, it all is mercy. And we thank you. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive us for thinking too little of our own sins and too much of other sins. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeing what we are in ourselves and for not rejoicing more in what you've made us in Christ. Help us to see this about one another. Help us to, Lord, to truly understand nothing, absolutely nothing, comes to pass except by your hand. Lord, make us to know salvation's far more than a doctrine. Make it real to us. Make it a person. Make it our Savior. Lord, we ask you, be with each one who is sick and suffering. Be with those, Lord, that you've given good news. And we thank you that you've given us good news concerning Brother Cyril. We pray that you'd be with Donna. She's hurting and in pain, and keep her. And Lord, keep us looking to you. Keep us looking to you. We thank you, Lord, and all of these blessings and all these things you've done. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, our King, our High Priest, our Prophet, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, brethren, Psalm 71. I want to speak on the subject of why this year's trials. Why this year's trials. We're coming to the end of a year in which we've seen trials unlike anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. But nothing that we've seen this year is new. Throughout the Scripture, God has brought similar trials and even worse. And it truly is God. There's nothing that comes to pass in this world that is not coming to pass directly by the hand of God. He does as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? His counsel shall stand. He will do all his pleasure. And we see in David here, who's suffering great, great trials. He's in the midst of a great trouble that God had sent. And we see in David where the Lord brings his child in trouble. This is where he brings us in the trial. David says in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? If you look down at verse 5, the Lord Himself is the believer's hope, and He is our trust. He said, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Now, when the Lord sends trouble, there's three things that David requests here in these first three verses. And when the Lord sends trouble to His child, these are three requests that His child makes. Whether we use these exact words or not, this is our petition. These are the three requests we make. And actually, by the Lord sending the trial and by Him bringing us to ask these three requests, He's actually giving us these three requests. Now here's the first request. Let me never be put to confusion. He says, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. This is our request only when the Lord has made us to know that in us is nothing but confusion and shame. I'll only make this request when I know that left to myself, I'm nothing but confusion and shame. That's all we are in our flesh. That's all we are. We don't have any strength in us, brethren. We couldn't create one spark of spiritual life in us. We couldn't create faith in us. And here's the truth of the matter. As believers, born of the Spirit of God, we're told to mortify our flesh. But we can't mortify one sin of ourselves. Not one. When we begin to imagine that we have some kind of strength in ourselves, and we do that by a lot of different ways, but when we start thinking we have some strength in ourselves, we're proving our sinful flesh is reigning over us. When we think we have some strength in ourselves, we're only proving that our sinful flesh is reigning over us. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because the Lord alone can renew strength. Our resurrected Redeemer says this from Hosea 14:8. He says, From me is thy fruit found. That's the only place. It's only from Him. We're barren. We're a desert land in ourselves. And just like the earth depends on the sun to shine and the rain to water it before it can bring forth fruit, we depend upon our Lord to bring forth fruit in us. We'll never ask God to keep us from confusion because until He makes us see it, because we'll think we're strong enough to keep ourselves from being ashamed. Oh, our faith is strong. We'll never fall away. It's only when He makes you to see you don't have any strength and I don't have any strength. But by sending the trial, that's what He teaches us. He teaches us He's not letting us be put to confusion. He's not letting us be ashamed for trusting Him by sending us a trial to show us we have nothing good in us at all and no strength. He draws you to Himself and by making you see you're absolutely desolate. And that's the only time we'll call on Him. Paul said, Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, she trusts in God. And that's why David prays here and says, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. He was desolate. He didn't have anybody else to trust in but the Lord. Nobody else. God gives faith to trust Him, and He won't let us be put to shame for trusting Him. He won't. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In Joel 2:26, he said, you shall eat in plenty, you'll be satisfied, you'll praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. He said, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And by that, he says, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. But the way he's going to never let us be put to confusion, the way he's never going to let us be put to shame, is by giving us trials to show us our total inability. He may let others think you've been put to shame. He may let others think you've been put to confusion. But he's going to bring you to see he won't ever let you be put to confusion. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's the only place we have strength. Now here's the second request. In verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. You don't pray that unless you need to be delivered. You don't pray that unless you need to escape. Now the Lord always inclines his ear unto his child. He always hears those he's everlastingly loved, those he chose in Christ, those that Christ came to redeem. He hears his children when we cry. In fact, the only reason we cry to him is because he brings that cry out of us. And he's going to hear it. He brings you to cry, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. The righteousness of God is His Son. The righteousness of the Lord Jehovah is Christ Jesus. And if we're going to be delivered, He's going to deliver me in thy righteousness, in Christ thy righteousness. That's how we're going to be delivered. Now the Apostle Paul said in Galatians that we are justified. Those Christ came to save are justified by the faith of Christ. That means his trust in the Lord, his trust in God the Father. When he took flesh, he totally trusted the Father, and he did so perfectly, and he did so from a heart of perfect love. And brethren, we see Christ's perfect faith from a perfect heart of love when we hear David, what he wrote here. He's a prophet, and he's writing of Christ and what Christ would say. And in verse 4, we can see several things in here that show us Christ. And he said, I've been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. And that's Christ. He's the only one who from the womb was perfect. But here he is now, surrounded by his enemies, and listen to what he prays in verse 4. He says, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Look down at verse 10. He says, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. You'll see the margin. It says they watch, they observe. And they take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Now, the wicked, the unrighteous, the cruel man that watched our Lord and opposed our substitute was the devil and everybody over whom he had power. That's the cruel man that watched our Lord. They watched him, they observed him, they tried to find fault in him, and they counseled together. They got together and talked about him when he wasn't around. And they counseled how they're going to take him. Now, they're fighting against God. They were fighting against God of glory. They're fighting a losing battle. That was a losing proposition. But that's what they were doing. His enemies they waited and they saw the hour. They saw this hour when they thought, God's forsaken him. Let's take him now. Let's take him. God's forsaken him. And so they persecuted him and they took him and they said, there's none to deliver him now. But here's what they didn't realize. Christ is the deliverer. And the only reason that he allowed them to think there was none to deliver him was so that they would take him by their wicked hands and do to him what God had ordained from before the world was made that they should do. God purposed it. He ordained what they would do. And the only reason that he made them think there was none to deliver him was that he might be nailed to that cross so that he might deliver his people in perfect righteousness. Everything that they were doing was fulfilling his eternal purpose. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. They only did what God before determined to be done. And on the cross, Christ delivered all God's elect in his righteousness. He delivered them all in his righteousness. But you see there, we hear Christ speaking here. This whole psalm, we hear Christ speaking. And we behold the faith of Christ. We behold that love, that perfect love of his heart. When he was undergoing all of that, you know what he did? He committed it to the Father that judges righteously. He didn't fight them. He didn't try to oppose them. He committed it to the Father. He trusted the Father. And he did that perfectly. And that's the faith by which we've been justified. That's the faith by which we're saved, brethren. By him perfectly, faithfully committing his cause entirely to the Father. And he did so perfectly. He waited. His prayer was, Father, deliver me in thy righteousness. What did he mean by that? Deliver me when your righteousness is established. Deliver me when my blood has justified my people from all their sins. When I've declared you just before this whole world. When I've fulfilled your whole law. When I've brought in an everlasting righteousness for my people. Don't deliver me till then. Deliver me in your righteousness. And it's that perfect faith of our Redeemer laying down his life that justified his people from all things from which you could not be justified by your works. And so now, by him dying, we're dead to the law. And it's that same faith of Christ that has to enter into us by which we live, by which we're guided, by which we're moved, by which our flesh is subdued, by which our inner man is strengthened, by which we're made to truly commit it all to him. The same faith of Christ. The same faith of Christ. So remember this. When enemies oppose us, it's only at God's appointment. It's only at God's appointment. They're doing what God determined before to be done. By God's hand, Absalom and a lot of other enemies opposed David. God appointed it. And so they came up against David. But what was it? What was he doing? Look at what David prayed there in Psalm 71 in verse 2. He prayed, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. And that's what the Lord was doing. The Lord was causing David to escape to Christ in faith. He was not letting David be put to confusion by trusting himself. He caused David to cry out for the Lord to deliver him in righteousness. Brethren, Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. And if you believe him, he's come and he's delivered you from the power of your adversary, the devil, and he has, to a degree, delivered you from your sin nature, and that he subdued it and given you a new man, created you anew, and by his faith now you live. But in order to keep us trusting him, in order to keep us and cause us to escape everything that would kill us and harm us, Our Lord is going to come with trial and send trial and send opposition, and He's going to make you see your weakness by every adversary He sends against you. First and foremost, the wicked, cruel, unrighteous man is this old man of sin we carry around on our back all the time. He's the only one that's going to make you escape him. And it's the devil and every adversary we have. But when he sins hit the adversary, when he opposes you, it's God causing you to escape to Him. It's Christ causing us to trust Him. It's Christ causing us to look to Him to deliver us in His righteousness. That's what it is. Listen to David. He depended upon the Lord to lead him. He said in Psalm 5:8, "Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. You teach me Your way in Your righteousness." When he was harassed with Satan's accusations in Psalm 35:24, he said, "Judge me, O Lord my God, according to Thy righteousness." You know how the Lord's going to judge His people when He judges you according to His righteousness? The devil, the accuser of the brethren who's observing you and trying to find fault in you, he stands at your right, at your side, and he says, "He's filthy!" And Christ doesn't bring a railing rebuke against him. Christ says, "He's robed in my righteousness." Satan accuses you and says, "Look at him. He's just a filthy, stinking sinner." And Christ says, "He's a brand plucked out of the fire. He's robed in my righteousness. He's perfect within and without." Listen to this, brethren. Who, if God be for us, who shall be against us? You just get that down in your heart. If God be for us, who shall be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? But you're guilty. I am. So are you. But who's going to lay anything to our charge? Not a soul. Not a soul. Listen to this. When lukewarm in heart, he said, "Quicken me in thy righteousness." When needing wisdom, he said, "Answer me in thy righteousness." When he was overwhelmed with cares and troubles, he said, "For thy righteousness' sake, bring me out of my trouble." You see, the trials of this life are sent to keep us escaping to Christ, our only righteousness, and trusting Him to do everything for us in righteousness. If He left it to me, I'd fall away in confusion and shame, because that's all that's in me. If He left it to you, that's exactly what you'll do too. But by sending trials, He's causing you, He's sweetly forcing you to be hedged up with thorns on this side, hedged up with thorns on this side, so you can't turn to the right or the left. There's only one place you can go. That's to Christ your righteousness. That's what He's doing in all these trials. And so He keeps us saying with David in verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof." You see, He's talking about constant, constant salvation. He has saved us. He is saving us. He shall save us. Lord, I see Your righteousness in everything You're doing. I can't even count the number of the righteousnesses You've shown me. "I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only." Verse 19, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee?" And so lastly, He brings you to ask this third request. "Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress." Now, if we're truthful, we don't like the trials. We don't like them. If we're truthful, we think they're getting in our way and hindering us from serving our Lord. That's what we think. But what are they really? What are they really? Now, I know this is your request if you trust the Lord. You want Him to be your strong habitation. You want Him to be the one that you continually resort to. Don't you? You want that. Well, because the Lord is your rock, because He is your fortress, because He is your strong habitation, He's going to give commandment. He has. He's given commandment to save you. Read it again there in verse 3, the second part. He says, Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. He's given commandment to save us because He's our rock and our fortress. We want Him to be our rock and our fortress. We want to continually resort to Him. And because He is our rock and our fortress, He's given commandment to save us. The trial comes because our all-powerful Savior has given commandment to save you. He's given commandment to keep you knowing He's your strong habitation. He's your rock. He's your fortress. To keep you continually resorting to Him. He's given commandment for that. Our Savior is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts. That means everything obeys His command. The what we call the laws of nature obey His commands. When He was ready to ascend up into heaven, He just did it. Because everything obeys His command. And He's given commandment to save us because He's our rock. He gives His angels command to keep us, to look over us and keep us. But He also commands the whole universe to do His bidding. He commands the beasts of the field and the stones of the field to save you. He commands the virus and the politician and the king to save you. He commands every enemy and every friend to save His people. That's what He's doing, brethren. Where do you get that? Because we know all things work together for good. They're being worked together for good by Him, for the called, for them that He's loved, and He's doing every bit of it on purpose. He's given commandment to save you and me, to make us resort to our rock, resort to our strong habitation, and stay in Him. He commands the trial to come to us to save us. And these trials and these troubles, they cause us to see we're not the rock. They cause us to see our brethren are not the rock. They cause us to see we're nothing but weakness and we only have one strong fortress, and that's Christ. Look at verse 6. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I'm as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Thou art my strong refuge. Look at verse 9. Cast me not off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 16. I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. Look at verse 18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not till I've showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Now this is something that everybody knows who's experienced this. And we don't know it till we've experienced it. So then it's a head knowledge and that's all it really is. We only learn that Christ is the power of God. That He is our rock, that He is our strength, that He is our fortress, that He is the only one that we resort to when He makes us to know we are weakness. That's all we are. That's all you are, sinner, your weakness. You've never done one good thing, not a thing. Everything you've ever thought godly is so full of sin that it'd send 1,000 sinners to hell if it wasn't for Christ. That's just so. We only learn this when He makes you see how weak you are, what a sinner you are. And it's only when Paul was weak that he saw Christ was his strength. It's only when he, whatever that messenger of Satan was, it was sent to buffet him. It was sent to be horrible to him. Brother Don always thought it was pride. But it was something to keep him seeing that he had no strength in himself. He was totally weak in himself. And when he brought him to see that, he made him to see Christ as his strength. And here's what the Lord did. He brought all men to forsake Paul. And you know what happened when he did that? The Lord stood with him and strengthened him. 2 Timothy 4:17. He said, when everybody else forsook me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. What a mercy. What a blessing. God causing us to resort to Christ the rock and put no trust anywhere else. Not till we despair of all strength in ourselves and in all others. Who really is our rock? Who really is our rock? It's who we obey. It's who we resort to. It's who we're forced to depend upon, and Him only. Because we're totally, totally without strength in ourselves. And that's what He's doing, brethren. That's the purpose of everything God is sending to us. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it. You're not my life. Christ is. And I'm not your life. Christ is. Your spouses are not your life. Christ is. Your brethren are not your life. Christ is. And we need to learn we got one life as Christ. So don't despise the trouble. Don't despise the trial. Don't despise the heartache. Don't murmur against it. And don't murmur against your brethren that are going through it. Because to do so is to fight against God. You just don't know what God's going to do. We just don't know. You know what's better to do? Lord, in Thee do I put my trust. Don't let me be confused. Don't let me be put to confusion. Lord, You're my rock. Keep me resorting to You. Lord, deliver me in Thy righteousness. Cause me to flee to You and trust You to do all righteously as You have for me. That's the best thing. That's committing it to Him that judges righteously. But in our weakness, the Spirit strengthens us with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Just in our weakness. In our weakness, He makes us strong in the Lord in the power of His might. When He crucifies us and He makes our old man of sin to perish in us and to see, so we see we're without strength, He strengthens with might by His Spirit in the inner man. If you go home, you read 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 18. Paul said that by the trials that we suffer, the Lord makes you bear in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, what exactly does that mean? I'll tell you one thing it means. He crucifies you. He brings your flesh to nothing. And Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of His suffering. I want my flesh to be crucified. That's what He in these trials, He's making you die in your old man of flesh. He's crucifying him. And then He said, at the same time, He's renewing us in spirit, making us know Christ is our life. And He said, and by this, He's making us to stop looking with these eyes at these things below and thinking this is salvation. Our salvation is from sin. Our salvation is from hell. Our salvation is from ourselves. Our salvation is Christ. Remember me giving an illustration a long time ago about coming home and the furniture in my parents' house would be rearranged? But the house was still my father's house. Things were still running right according to what he wanted them, how he wanted them to run. The furniture was just rearranged. Well, one day God's going to fold this up, take all the furniture away, and show you this wasn't even the house. He's the house. He's the rock. He's the fortress. He's the refuge. And then when he's done that, this is what he brings you to, verse 20. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Get that? Thou, Lord, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again. What did he do after Christ was crucified? He quickened him. He rose. And after he's crucified you by these trials, he's going to quicken you again. And then what's he going to do? He says, and you'll bring me up again from the depths of the earth and shall increase my greatness. The end of the trial is always better than the beginning. And you know what your greatness is? It's Christ. And he increases you, beholding Christ, your greatness, more and more through this trial. And he comforts me on every side. Everywhere. And what does that cause? Causes you to stop glorying in you and start glorying in him. He said, I'll also praise thee, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. And my soul, which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. He never stops doing this till the last trial, when he shows you, you really never had any strength in yourself, when you can't move a muscle. And you can't bat an eye. And you can't mutter a word in murmuring against him. You just have to trust him. And he shows you, that's where you were the whole time. That's the strength you had the whole time. I want to end with this hymn by John Ryland. He said, Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all our times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. He that formed us in the womb, he shall guide us to the tomb. All our ways shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Times of sickness, times of health, blighting want and cheerful wealth, all our pleasures, all our pains, come and end as God ordains. May we always on thy hand still to thee surrendered stand. Know that thou art God alone. We and ours are all thy own. And I pray, brethren, that'll help us understand the trials. Amen.